I think Peg should just play the whole sermon. Anybody agree? I got one. I got a couple people clapping, yeah. Help put them to sleep. I would feel like, you know, I saw a lot of tired faces today walking in. People tired today, right? I don't know what it is. A lot of people not finding much sleep last night. Was it just me? I didn't find much sleep last night. Some of it was me trying to figure out, what am I going to say today? And I have been working on it, trust me, all right? Just, you know those times, I don't know about you, there's times in work where you feel like you're just not connecting, that you're just not, it's not flowing. Man, it's there right now. And I'm praying that God moves in this service, and if anything miraculous comes, we know it's God moving. So that's exciting. It's exciting to know. If it's a stinker, that's because I'm a stinker, all right? And I know God will move this morning. It might be one or two of you, but man, I'm going to try really hard not to put you to sleep. So who knows what I'm going to say? That can be a scary thing. Just ask previous churches, right? It's a scary thing if you don't know. I have put my work in here. Don't worry, all right? We're doing a new series called You're Invited, right? And the next, in August 28th, repeat after me, August 28th. One more time, August 28th. August 28th. We have a block party going on, right? We're going to do something a little bit different. You see how we're seated in here on a Sunday morning? Long as it's not like a hurricane or a tornado, snowstorm, we'll be out there, right? We'll be out there having fun. No, we will be outside. A snowstorm in August, that would be amazing. I feel like it would be a godsend, right? Anyway, we will be outside for service. We will be lifting our voices and having sanctuary outside, right? And we'll be having fun. This is a chance for you to invite everybody you know in your life to be a part of. It will be a friendly service. It will be an opportunity to come and play cornhole. It'll be an opportunity to play some nine square, beat some kids at nine square, or have them beat you, one of the two. We're going to have kickball, and I would love to see adults versus teens versus kickball. Adults versus kids. You know, it's fun to hit them with one of those orange, those big balls. It really is. 20 years of youth ministry, whoo, I loved playing dodgeball with those things, you know, just leaving my impact for eternity, right? I love that. It is an opportunity to have fun together as a church body, to be somewhere different. We will have a worship out there, right? We will be having the sermon out there. We'll be having food out there. We have a food truck coming, right? You'll need to bring some things. You'll need to bring your own chair, right? If you don't have a chair, we'll provide you with one. We can move one of these blue ones out there, right? That might look weird, but I'm willing to do it, right? But if you have your own chair, bring it. This is what's awesome about this service too, is like if people have been nervous to come back to church, this is a service that they can come to. They can spread out, right? And they can feel part of us. Maybe this is our chance to ease people back into it too. So if you know anybody because of COVID that's struggling to being back together, this is the service to invite them to, all right? I'm going to be announcing this for next week, and it is part of our sermon series, You're Invited, all right? The message, the scripture that I'm using is found in Matthew 22, 1 through 14. This is a parable. Parables are what Jesus used to explain a point. It is a story that he would tell to people to help them understand what he's trying to say, right? And so Jesus uses this as a technique, and it's such a great technique. They learned through stories more than anything. So he knew what to do. And this is the story of the wedding banquet. This is a parable of the wedding banquet. And I started thinking about weddings. And I have, as a pastor, I will tell you, one of the things that stressed me the most about ministry is two things. Weddings and funerals. And I'll explain, right? I'm always scared I'm going to mess up the name. It happened. Yes. Right? I've done it a couple of times. My anxiety, my nerves, it just starts to kick in, and I just say something that I'm like, where did that come from? Right? And I forget where I'm at in that moment. And I'm going to tell you a couple of, like, amazing weddings that I've done recently. My last wedding, which was outside at somebody's house. They had a beautiful setup. It was two former teens of mine that are getting married. It was such an awesome thing. And God was moving in their lives, and we had church people there, and they were in that area of their life of like making it. They were young, getting married, so it was easy to go, oh, they shouldn't do that. They were also making adult decisions before a lot of people felt like they were ready to make those decisions, right? And so one of the cool things about that wedding is after they walked off and I said, you know, Josh and Katrina Ausler are married. This is, you know, Stan, let's recognize them. They left. I made everybody that was in that moment sit back down, and I said to them that this is one of those moments I think was a God moment. And I just said, we're going off script here. Josh and Katrina don't know how I'm going to say this, but you are brought here for a reason. They love you. They invited you to be a part of this moment. And your job from this point on is to support their marriage, to be cheerleaders for them, to encourage them, to love them, to be there for them, right? And so it was a God moment. I loved it. Now, there was other amazing moments. They did the unity candle, and the space between me and the unity candle, and it was summertime. It was super hot. I was full suit on. I could feel the heat from the candle. And there was a part in the service, I thought, am I on fire? Do I ask? Do I stop? Right? And my son's birthday is yesterday, so I think I'll honor him with a story too. He was also there at this wedding, and they did a moment of silence for a grandpa that passed away, and my poor boy, he got sick right at that moment. Yep. I'm looking in the background, he's letting it go. I'm like, oh, you know, happy birthday. Right. Another one, John and Hannah, two former students of mine, another young couple getting married. This one's a funny one. Our wedding planner, who was part of the church, had told me and the groom, John, hey, wait until our signal for you to come in. It was the first time ever being told, hey, we're not going to be in there right away when everybody else is in there. We're going to come in at a different time. And the cue never came. And, you know, the groom hears the wedding march, and he's like, what? Oh, no. And we dart in there. We meet the bride right at the altar together. I love them. And if you know me, I'm a jokester. I love to joke. And I decided to take that moment and quietly hide the mic from everybody and just leaned over to Hannah and said, I had to talk him out of the car. Right? Now, I was gambling that she wouldn't cry. I was gambling, but she laughed. It eased the tension in that moment, and it was a private moment between just me and them. And it was just one of those special moments in that moment of, like, chaos. Weddings can be chaotic, right? One other wedding that I had that I did was family. This one, I messed up big time. But it was hilarious. Callie is my cousin. I've known her whole life. I love her. And Jordan is her groom that day. And he's an awesome man, and I love him. And he's my Illini buddy. And we hang out a lot when I'm in town with him. And just get along really well. Well, we're at the wedding banquet. We're at the reception. And we're about to have food. And the best man did his speech. And his name was Kyle. And he said in his speech, it was a funny speech, everybody laughed, you know, he said, if one of us was a female, we probably would have married each other, sorry, Callie, right? And it's Jordan and Kyle, they're friends, the bride's name's Callie and Jordan. Well, I went to pray, and as I'm praying, I prayed for the blessed union between Kyle and Jordan. And as I prayed it, I like stopped immediately. I was like, oh, I definitely just messed up. And so my reaction was like, woo! And everybody just started laughing. I thought, I'm not going to be invited back to family get-togethers. I'm going to act like this was a real on-purpose thing. Yeah, I'm hilarious. No. No. Man, weddings, I've noticed in my career, can bring families together or they can separate them. They're very stressful times for the most part. And Jesus in this moment, in Matthew 22 in 1 through 14, I'm not going to read it all, but what I'm going to do is kind of give you the look through what's going on here. And you're more than welcome to read this. I want you to read this week. I want you to think about what Jesus is saying here, because it's intense what he says in this scripture here, all right? He is being challenged by his authority. A lot of Pharisees and a lot of religious leaders at that time did not like him. He was saying things that were counter what the church at that time was saying. And he was basically saying, I am the Son of Man, I am the Son of God, and I am the Messiah, and I'm coming here to restore things, and I'm going to show you that it is not by law that you are saved, it is by grace and mercy of me through my life that you're saved. And they struggled with that authority, right? And they asked him, so who says these things and who has given you authority? And he gives this parable to kind of help with this mindset, right? He talks about a wedding banquet that he is serving, that God is serving for his kingdom, for his son, as he marries the bride, which is what? The church, right? And he puts on this banquet, and he invites everybody. He invites the Pharisees and the religious leaders, and he sends his servants out to go and meet them with his invitation, and they're pretty much ignored. They're like, well, we're busy. We can't do that. I don't, go away, right? And so the servants come back and tell him nobody's really taking your invitation. And he says, all right, tell them that I have created this amazing meal. This beautiful place is set up for them to glorify my son this morning. And he sent them out and he says, hey, they're slaughtering the calves. They're making this beautiful meal. It's going to be awesome. Please come. Please come. And some said, I don't have the time. I don't want to go. And some even got ruthless and murdered the servants because they were just tired of hearing it. So they came back with this message of saying, yeah, some of us didn't even make it back. They don't want what you have. They don't want to celebrate you. And God reminded them in this parable, saying, okay, you did scorch earth on them. Your city will burn to the ground. And nobody will be left. And then he sent his servants out again, right? And he said, go for the good and the bad. Anybody. Invite everybody else to come to this banquet. And they did. It was probably a beautiful time. And Jesus walks in, and you see this moment, and he goes, hey, something's different here. There's one person, one man. He asks him, why aren't you dressed in the wedding robe, right? And he goes, he didn't have an answer for him. He didn't talk back. And he's like, all right, he doesn't belong here. And this is kind of the hard part of the story. But I'll explain it in a little bit, all right? And he goes, all right, he needs to leave. And he binds up his hands and tosses them out. And you got to understand, this is about the kingdom of heaven. This is about the kingdom of heaven. This is where the wedding banquet's at. This is what the parable's talking about, all right? So the wedding robe represented being able to take on Jesus' life, understanding that he is who we are, and accepting everything about him and saying yes to him, and then taking that wedding robe as a symbol in that time and wearing it and recognizing it. And again, this is a parable. This isn't something that's happening. This is Jesus explaining. Because you don't accept Jesus as the Lord and Messiah, you do not have a place in the kingdom of heaven. All those, good or bad, if they accept Jesus Christ, they belong with me. That's awesome. All right. So how does this relate to us? First off, I want you to know, you are invited into a relationship with God. I can end the message right there and understand you are invited into a relationship with God. And that's it. But relationship is so much more than just a one-time deal that I knelt down at this altar, that altar, or my home altar, or wherever I grew up. It could have been a moment in the car that I decided God is my Savior and I need Him. I pull over and I have that moment, and that moment is where I've stayed ever since. That is not a relationship that you have been invited into. Actually, you know what? I think what this parable for us in this moment is looking at it from the standpoint every day, God is inviting you into relationship with Him in all the areas of your life. All the areas of your life. Right? Not just here on Sunday, not just here on Wednesday, not just 30 minutes in the morning where I spend with Him. Not just 5 minutes before I go to bed and pray. It's while you're talking to your kids. He wants to be invited into that moment. It's while you're working at work and you're tired and exhausted. He wants to be invited into that moment. It's where you're frustrated and angry. He wants to be invited into that moment. He wants all aspects of your life where He's invited into that moment and is the God and the leader of that moment. He doesn't want just 99%. He wants the 100% of you. And that is so difficult. In many ways, it's unattainable. But here's the question. Are you even accepting it 50%, 60% of the time? Or are you like those that are going like the righteous people going, I don't need you right now. I need to be frustrated. I need to be angry. I need to be working right now, and I need to be frustrated with that. I need to be a parent that I need to be, not the parent that you've called me to be. It is easy to get on our track and start working and doing and living life and forget that we are invited in that track of life, in all tracks of life that we live, to be in a relationship with God. That it doesn't just lead just a moment with worship. It is something that God is saying daily, moment after moment after moment after moment, let me be a part of your life, even if it stinks. Even if it's frustrating. I look at our students and I think about them as they go to school and they go and be a student. And think about being the possibility of being a class clown. Looking at you, yeah. Thinking of those things, your first thought should be, how can I allow God to be in this moment with me? He's already invited me into this. How can I say yes to this? How can I be a student for Him? Right? Right? It's not easy. And I would look at it this way too for us that are adults. How can I be a boss, an employee, a worker in the day's world that I'm called to invite God into? Because that calling's so much bigger than what I even do. What if you're retired? We got a couple people retiring, right? Life is good, right? Guess what? Every day in your retirement is an invitation to allow God to move in that moment. You have more time to, guess what? Make relationships with people that are sincere. You're no longer bound by things at work and stature and all that stuff. Guess what? You are now free to go and, hey, I need to make an impact in somebody's life for God today. How am I going to invite that? How am I going to involve God in this? Right? We got the biggest thing that I noticed in this scripture, this parable, is that we cannot just be blatantly, I don't have time for you, God. Because if you notice what he does in Scripture with the Pharisees is, I'm done with you. He gave them two chances, and he was done. Luckily, we have Jesus now. We have his blood, that's grace and mercy, and it's continually to love us and continue to let us grow and mature. But I want you to understand the severity that it means when we brush God off. When we move aside and say, God, I don't want you in this part of my life. I need to keep doing this. I need to be this way. I can't have you involved in this part of my life because it's just, it would challenge me in the way that I don't want to be challenged. It'll make me live a certain way that I'm not comfortable living it out in front of people. And we keep pushing it off. I don't want to say he's going to stop asking, but you're going to start missing out on some opportunities that God is putting before you personally, that you're personally invited to. Weddings are unique because they give out personal invitations, right? They give it to you. You are somebody that has made it to this point where they want you to be part of this celebration. They want you to be here, to love on them, to see what this great union is going to happen. God has invited us to be a part of that union. And this is the cool thing. You are supposed to be living testaments of invitation to other people. Like your life should be the billboard of what God is saying to everybody, going, I love you because you are been made by me, and I want to embrace you for who you are, and I will do the changing, and I will love you through it. And our job is just to open our arms and go, I'm here. Use me. Okay, I'm supposed to go the extra mile with this neighbor that's mad at me. Okay, let's go do it. Right? This is something maybe you should write down. You are supposed to be the living invitation to God today and tomorrow and the next day. That's what you're called to do. Does it mean that you're going to be perfect? Yeah, I love that you right away. It doesn't mean you're supposed to be perfect. In fact, this is what I have found in Scripture. The more that you are imperfect and you glorify God, he will use that and show that he loves us despite our own actions, and many things get moved a lot more farther when we understand, hey, it is not through my perfection here in this world, but it is through my perfection in my Lord and Maker and Savior that I'm able to do this. And there are moments that I have said things I totally regret, and as a living invitation of God, you go and say, please forgive me. It's important. It is important to understand in every relationship that you understand that God wants to be invited into that moment with you. Think about that. And if God is there in that moment and you've invited him in that moment, guess what that makes that moment? Say it louder.
Holy.
It makes it holy. It makes it holy. It is only by God that anything is holy, if you understand that, right? And if God is in the middle of that, he says this in Matthew, he says, if two or three are gathered together in my name, it is holy. I am there. I am with you. Imagine being at work and having holy moments. Imagine being at school and having holy moments. Imagine being at the shopping market and having holy moments because you've noticed, hey, God wants to be invited in this moment, and I need to love. Love like I've never loved before. I need to do something God has written on my life and invite people into this moment with him. Listen, people's souls are at stake. And you have been called to be missionaries here, not just Ben Alexander, not just Harrison. We are on a mission to share the invitation of Jesus Christ every day. And this is the hard part. Whether we wake up, like I woke up this morning, I had 2 hours of sleep. I tossed and turned. I didn't know. God, is this really what you want me to say? God, this just isn't flowing right. God, I battled. And I tell you, there was a moment I rolled over and I was like, Lord, can this be a different day than Sunday? Can I roll over and have Saturday over again? Right? I think we've all had those moments. I think we've rolled over and like, I am not ready to be the one that you've called me to be today. You know what? You're right. God can use you no matter you in the way or not. It's just about you saying right where I'm at, my frustration, my anger, my tiredness, my wherever I'm at, my just lack of faith, God, move in me today. And that is backed up with Scripture. That is backed up by how he's lived out through his disciples, right? It wasn't by their faith alone. It was by his faith that moved in us, and we have that faith. We claim it because he gave it. You understand that? We claim it because he gave it. We believe because he allows us to believe. He sees us, we open our hearts, and we say yes to him. Whew, it is only because of him that I walk this walk with him. Because the moment that is about me, the moment that I keep my salvation then becomes about my works and my deeds, and that's not it. My works and my deeds and my faith is because of the relationship that I have with God. Do you hear that? The works that I do is because of the relationship that I have with God. I love God, therefore in my love, it defines my actions of how I live that out. It doesn't earn me a better spot. I'm not looking for it. There are moments I'll be, man, I prayed 50 minutes that time. Another jewel on my crown. Woohoo! It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. You know what that 50 minutes is? I had an extra time with God this morning. He has blessed me with that. I want more of that. How can I get more of that? I got to share his word with somebody. I got to invite him to be a part of this. And again, the 28th, August 28th, we have a block party. Guess why we have a block party, people? Is it for us? I'm going to have fun. That's going to be a fun morning. I pray, and be praying with me, that the weather is great. It's not like scorching hot. It's not rainy, right? That's faith. Not the smart faith, but we'll see. But God is bigger than this, right? And we are called to live this out. And we look at August 28th and understand this is about God using this event to be able to allow us to invite people that we normally wouldn't invite. And when they come, we don't just go, hey, I brought somebody, woohoo, they're here. Hey, good luck. No, we are invited into this relationship because God opened this door and we have to be attentive to that relationship. We are now on the hook to love them, to be kind to them, to be hospitable to them, to let them know that they are part of this. You see, church, many times when the door is shut, the doors shut mean, okay, this is who we are. We're safe. We're good. We're comfortable. I want us to get out there to understand there's a whole world that needs our love, our guidance, our understanding, and they are truly welcome, and there's no walls put up metaphorically or physically. They belong here. And this is it. Like, the world looks different from us in many ways, and this is how God looks at them. He loves them right where they're at. And he's called you to do the same. He's invited you into those relationships. And guess who does the work on their hearts? God does. Do we trust that? Do we trust that God can do the work in people's lives? Do we? So why don't we bring God to them? Let them know that they're loved. Let them know that God's got a place for them. Let them know that they belonged, no matter where they are, what they look like, know that God can change their lives, and we believe that, and we trust God. And guess what? You'll be invited into a situation probably to have those conversations to be the voice of God someday. Because the more that we live this out, the more he's going to put you to the test to say, hey, this is the time. This person needs to hear the truth through your heart that's full of grace and mercy and kindness, and they need to be convicted. But what comes first before the conviction? Grace, mercy, kindness. When you say those things before you convict somebody, and again, you don't convict somebody, guess who does? God does. He just invites you into that moment. Right? So, August 28th, this is what we're preparing for. This is what we're working for. This is the beginning of the next school year, life, calendar year, kind of, right? This is how I've been trained to think about in the calendar year. I don't think about it January through December. I think about it from August to May, and then you get summer. And then those months don't matter. Yeah, I know. I messed up. Anyway. But God is going to use this time, and I honestly believe it is time for us at Springfield First to be invited into a moment with God that's actively pursuing the ministry that he has called you personally to. Did I get an amen? I'm not asking for it. I'm just saying, did I actually? All right, because this is one of those moments that we look back and go, okay, I said yes, but what did I say yes to? I am trying to share the gospel with a coworker, and it's not going good. Guess what? I'm going to also invite you to be part of small group, because guess what small groups help you prepare to do? Share the gospel. Pray for your buddy that needs to be prayed for. Help you instruct you with the words that, hey, if this didn't work, try this. Hey, I know that that person isn't got money for rent. Our small group is going to take care of them, and we're going to figure out a way to somebody get blessed by this, what God has given us, right? It is understanding when we get involved in ministries here at church, it is not to glorify ourselves, it's not for us or to be entertained, it is us to draw closer to God and to be what he has called us to be. And we are to be invited into that moment. And we got to be careful with saying, I don't have time. We got to be careful that, that's for somebody else. I learned early on, you don't ask for volunteers from the stage from youth ministry. You know why? Because the biggest thing you hear, well, that's great. They need more volunteers. That things are going good. Somebody else can do that. Right? It's easy to think that. Like, you can look around, oh, they'd be great at that. You know what you have to do? You have to go up to personally and say, hey, I see a gift in you. I see where God needs to use you, and you're invited into this. Are you going to say yes? Right? It is a personal moment in that moment. But if we put this out here broad scope, if I say, hey, come help Harrison. You know, most of the time, every time I did that, I would get maybe one or zero. And majority of it is because somebody else can do it. I don't have that skill set. I don't have that time. Why I say this is because I think we do the same thing. God is calling you personally. God is calling you personally. And he's got a job for you personally to be invited into. Are you going to do it? You all have a call. You do. You all have a job. You all have a family. You all have something within your life. And it can be a struggle, and it can be amazing. It can be top of the world. It can also be the low. It can just be mundane. But God wants to use you right where you're at. You're invited into that moment. Are you going to say yes? Stand with me, church. This morning, you were invited to be part of the ministry that God has set before you. And this week, my challenge for you is, are you ready to say yes to that? Because if you are, guess what will happen? God will start using you. You might be frustrated. You might be excited. But knowing that God is going to use you will draw you closer to him every minute, every hour, every day. You will be a written invitation of God's love if you say yes. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity to be before you, to be in your presence where you say two or three are there in my name, I am there. Lord, I pray you're here this morning. I pray that you have moved in our hearts. I pray that you put me to the side. I pray the message that was given was your message, Lord. And if one person heard it, I pray that glorifies you. Lord, I pray that we are excited to be living invitations of your word. Lord, I pray that you have written people in our lives that we need to start sharing your love with. I pray that situations occur that we are ready to be the guidepost of your love. Lord, if we think that we don't have what it takes, if we think that we're too sinful, if we think we're too messed up, if we think that we don't have the gifts or the traits to be it, Lord, may we understand that it's not our traits, it's not our gifts that will be used. It'll be you through us being used. And Lord, you use the lowly of us to bring up the highest of all. Lord, I pray people know this morning that they're called, that they're invited into a relationship with you. May we understand the importance of this parable. Lord, I pray that we go and read Matthew 22 this week. I pray that we live it out. I pray that we're excited to be the living imitation of your banquet. Give us the courage. Give us the strength. Give us the words. Give us the actions that we need to do to exemplify this. We thank you for all that you've done. Amen. Church, go in peace knowing that you're a living invitation this week.